You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
In the conversation.
8 minutes after 11 o'clock. It's time now for World of Work, this being a Wednesday. And I hope you're going to call in, as promised. We're going to be talking about what happens when we are pregnant in the world of work. When you tell your employers, what are you entitled to, etc., etc. All the questions you have in relation to the excitement about parenting or prospective parenting, and then suddenly you may be worried about what does this mean from a labor point of view in terms of what you're entitled to, not entitled to. So give us a call throughout if you want some help. Maybe this is something you're going through currently and you're not sure whether the things you're hearing from HR or from your bosses or line manager are things that you can push back on or not. 011-883-0702 in Joburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Employment lawyer and director at Fasken, Sharisa Raja, joins us again. It's wonderful having you back on the show. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
I'm going to keep the questions very basic and hopefully usefully so. When do I first tell my bosses that I'm pregnant? Before I tell my husband?
I mean, that's your choice. Look, I think you're required to tell your employer as soon as you are reasonably aware of your pregnancy. However, in terms of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, you are required to notify and give at least reasonable notice prior to taking the maternity leave. But I do think that in terms of maternity leave and where we are in our country right now, It's a very exciting time. We've made huge strides. Before the Labor Laws Amendment Act, the Labor Court entitled a man to leave maternity leave under the Basic Conditions of Employment Act because the judge felt that it was in the best interest of the child, considering the constitutional rights, Section 28, as well as the best interest of the child under the Children's Act. Following from that, we've had our laws amended, and it's about to be signed off by our president, where an employee can get parental leave, adoption leave, surrogacy leave, parallel to the maternity leave.
Does that depend on the nature of your contract and the nature of your relationship? For example, would that apply equally to, I don't know, a casual worker, someone who's in a contract, as opposed to being a permanent employer?
So remember, the laws protecting employees in atypical employment relations, so in other words, your casual worker, your fixed-term employee, the law says now those employees who earn below the earning threshold, who are identified in these relationships, in these employment relationships, are entitled to the same or similar benefits as comparable permanent employees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's very progressive.
It is. In addition to that, though, this is statute. So once you are an employee and it doesn't distinguish, you are then eligible to exercise your rights in law. And an employer can never take away what's accrued to you in law.
So what am I entitled to? Is there, how does it work?
Well,
weeks, months, like
so
compensation, can they say, no, okay, cool, you can have your 3 months, that's fine, but we're not going to pay you while you're at home busy breastfeeding.
Yeah, so that's a bit of a tricky one. I think that requires a conversation. So at a minimum, women are entitled to, assuming you've had a baby, and there's a distinction between people who've delivered a child and people who've had a miscarriage.
Okay.
Right? So you're entitled to maternity leave, and you can take this leave up to 6 weeks before the due date of the birth of the child. If you've had a miscarriage, you're then entitled to 6 weeks leave.
Okay, let's do it again. So the first one was?
So if you have, it's 4 months leave.
4 months, okay.
Yeah. It doesn't say that it's paid. And that's where the Unemployment Insurance Fund kicks in, where you get your benefits under the Unemployment Insurance Act. And I think that's where you'd want to give your notice and let HR assist you to populate your form so you can get your monies through the Unemployment Insurance Fund. If you've had a miscarriage, you're entitled in law to 6 weeks leave after the loss of the child, and that includes a stillbirth. Now, the amendments, which will be signed off any day now, will entitle, so let's say it's a heterosexual couple, so husband and wife, the wife gets the 4 months leave, maybe paid if, depending on the conditions of the employer. We'll talk about that. The husband now, for the first time, gets 10 days leave.
What was it before?
It was family responsibility leave.
And they wonder why we are absent.
And
10 days. And we've got enough time to bond.
And remember, the family responsibility leave only kicks in after you've been there for 4 months.
Wow.
Right? Now, these amendments under the Labor Laws Amendment Act, if you found out your wife's pregnant, you started this year, you get your leave this year. It's when the child, it triggers every year, which is hugely progressive for our country.
Sure. Look, I know this is not necessarily a legal question, but 10 days is very little, isn't it?
I agree.
I always have all these people bragging in places like certain parts of Scandinavia where dads have a far, far nicer time.
Well,
and then we are surprised about these complicated daddy issues that we have later on in life. No,
no, that's because men are lazy. That's a different conversation.
That too.
But I mean, if you look comparatively, the UK offer 12 months maternity leave. Yeah. They also offer something hugely progressive called shared parental leave.
Okay. What is that?
So that means that's where there's an interplay between the maternity leave and allows both parents of the child to share the 12-month leave.
Oh, I see.
And if you split it 6 months each, you could potentially take the leave concurrently.
Yeah.
Which would be amazing.
Yeah.
But I mean, in my experience, and I'm gonna, pull me back if I digress here. But as a mother, as a working mother, as a hugely ambitious working mother, the issue I see underlying all of this is there's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, I want to bond with my child, but I don't just want to bond now for like 4 months. I want to bond with my child, which is why I had my child.
That's true.
For the lifetime.
Yeah.
So too should a father. Yes. So too should same-sex couples. Yeah. So too should people who adopt, who have surrogates.
Yes.
Consequently, isn't the issue underlying all of this one of employers needing now operationally to consider flexible working arrangements for employees?
I think you've nailed it. The real issue here, and this is why I am willfully, I love your how lucid you speak about the law, but I'm willfully saying it's not fundamentally a legal issue. Yeah. This is fundamentally about how we see parenting and how much as a society we value it. Because if we do, we're not going to be hung up about the details of the employment conditions. We're going to accept that just because she's breastfeeding at home doesn't mean that Charissa's IQ has dropped by 50 points.
I mean, we hope not.
We hope not, right? Ideally. But that's really what it is, right? We need to interrogate all of this kind of stuff in terms of the work arrangements in general.
If you look at where...
And of course, women, I mean, let's also be blunt about the other obvious element in this discussion. It's women who disproportionately then get punished by the economic structure because you then shoulder the burden of caring for the newborn.
Well, the way society has been structured is that a woman is the primary caregiver.
Yeah.
Consequently, you have to take the leave. Your husband doesn't get the leave, right? What then happens is the woman becomes a dependent because she falls back in the workplace.
Yeah.
It's hard to come back. You're torn between parenting and wanting to be a contributing member of society in your household. What if we stopped all that and hit pause and said, well, hang on, we're in the fourth industrial revolution. We're in the gig economy here.
Yeah.
We don't need to take leave. I had a Skype call with India yesterday afternoon on a matter. You know, I was hoping to score a ticket to India to go and have the matter, but I got a Skype invite. I mean,
exactly.
Why do we need to do this? Whatever you need me to achieve, I can from my study in my house with my child asleep in the room next door.
At the risk of getting a depressing answer, in your experience, how many companies have got to be dragged to even obey the minimum letter of the law, and how many are beginning to think about the gig economy and pegging your KPIs against output rather than you being chained to the desk 9 to 5?
I must be honest. Outside of the general worker, so the guy that's actually operating a machine line, most of my clients, if not all of them, are embracing the idea of a gig economy, embracing the idea of flexibility, what the fourth industrial revolution puts to them. Because at the end of the day, it's so much cheaper for you to drink your own tea and hit your own kettle button than mine.
You would have thought. It makes business sense, is what you're saying. It makes business sense.
Absolutely.
We're not just talking about doing good in the name of equality, although that's a good reason. We're also talking about maximizing shareholder value.
Absolutely. It makes business sense.
Okay, we've got a couple of calls. Jay, good morning and welcome to this show.
Hi, good morning. I'm a public servant and I'm just curious because I'm aware that adoption leave is only 2.5 months. And I find that quite disturbing, especially considering that an adopted child already starts with a kind of disadvantage in relation to their sense of security in the world after they've been given up. And then the parent who's adopting only has 2.5 months to bond with the child. And that seems rather counterproductive in the public service.
Mm, I hear you, Jay. I have to confess, I've got such little expectation of our society. I'm thinking 2.5 months. That's 2.5 months more than I thought. I would have thought there would be this really ridiculous bias in favor of biological parenting.
Mm.
What does the law say?
It's true. Section 25B of the Labour Laws Amendment Act, once it becomes an act, does grant a parent who's adopted a child 10 weeks consecutive leave.
Okay.
So the primary caregiver gets the 10 weeks and then the other parent gets the 10 consecutive days, however you want to structure that. Fair point. Same with surrogacy.
Listen, if your workplace, and please don't suck up to them because you want a bonus, but if they have been really amazeballs in how they've handled this along the lines that Charissa is outlining are ideal beyond the letter of the law, let's hear about your experiences. Moms, dads, couples, individuals who've adopted, how was this handled by your place of employment? And be honest about it. 011-883-0702 in Joburg, in Cape Town, 021-446-0567. You've sparked another creative thought for me in relation to this gig economy thing. Even on the current model, even if we don't become incredibly progressive, just a little bit progressive, why not also allow someone to be able to divvy up the 4 months or the 10 weeks? You know what I mean? So maybe you want to take 3 weeks now, but come back after 6 months and take the other 3 weeks then.
Yeah.
For example, that's another way to be able to do a bit more than what the law stipulates.
Well, it's also a question of as a mother, I want to be with my kid, but I also want to build my practice and be relevant in what I do. And the law changes every single day. As I sit here, I don't know what's happening in the labor court right now. So when my second child was born, I went on maternity leave, but on day 10, I started working, but I worked from home next to him while he slept. I think that the same kind of autonomy should be offered to women all over.
Absolutely. 19 minutes after 11, Sifiso, we're going to come to you on the other side of this.
702 at Cape Talk.
21 minutes after 11 o'clock, we're hanging out with Charissa and we're talking about employment law in respect of, I think pregnancy is not too narrow, right? What is the proper way to frame this? Parenting.
Parenting.
Really, right?
Yes.
It's really about parenting and what the law is to say. Let's go to the line. Sifiso, thank you so much for calling in today. Hi, Sifiso. Okay, we'll come back to you. Is it Kirk in Cape Town?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Good morning.
Good morning.
I adopted a 5-month-old baby 3 months ago, and I was fortunate enough to get 2 weeks paid paternity leave with the company that I work for. So I was really impressed by that.
How much leave did you get?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks paternity leave, which was sufficient because, I mean, she was 5 months old when we got her. It was, you know, she wasn't a baby.
Like, I thought you were going to say it was sufficient because there's only so many nappies you can change.
That's true. Or sleepless nights.
And the 2 weeks, was that unpaid or was it paid?
No, it was paid. It was paid paternity leave.
That is pretty awesome.
Of the company.
And when was that? How long ago?
That was 3 months ago.
3 months ago. Now, what's going to be the attitude of your work if now 6 months from now you go, you know what? I actually want a bit more flexi time, guys. I'm missing the little one too much. Will they be as progressive about renegotiating your terms, do you think?
Well, firstly, I might not be that missing her. I might not miss her that much. But I want to be with her permanently. No, but I actually think that the company that I work for would be open to a discussion.
Yeah. Thanks, Kirk. Thanks for that. Much appreciated. Sifiso, good morning. Okay, that's a bit scrambled. We're going to have to just come back to that, Sifiso, in a second. You know, the other difficult social-legal issue here, of course, is that part of the reason why there's such a tough conversation, particularly for women, is because you end up worrying about having to choose between career progression and being a mom. And that is weird.
Yeah. I think the misunderstanding that women have is, if I'm not at work and I'm not getting paid, then what happens to my benefits? Is my job safe when I come back? And the Act expressly allows or requires employers to accommodate employees who've had babies and have come back to work. But you do have this fear of missing out. But it is a controversial debate in your head between motherhood, ambition, and contributions.
Can you be DC'd for not disclosing your pregnancy?
No. The only time you're required to disclose is when you want to take your leave. The obligation you should go 6 weeks before. You can go 6 weeks before. It doesn't say anything here about when you must tell your it says you must notify your employer in writing, unless you're unable to do so, on the day in which you want to commence your leave and when you want to return from leave. And you should at least give 4 weeks notice prior to wanting to intend to take your leave.
Can you stipulate when you want that 4 weeks to start or that 4 months to start?
Yeah.
In other words, I'm wondering how much power the employer has to say, Sharisha, you're entitled to 4 months, but dude, you know we need you here. There aren't many hands around Feskin. Can you take 3 months? And then we're into the subtle area of bullying and that kind of thing. Because they may say, okay, now that you're throwing the law at me, you take your 4 months. Let's see how that works out for you.
Yeah. Look, I think once an employer gets it, they've already breached the law. Because you are, by operation of law, entitled to 4 months.
Okay.
And you can take it up to 6 weeks before. They can't take it away from you unless you want it to happen in that way. In other words, you want to take it later or whatever.
Yeah, by agreement.
By agreement. But you can also, under the BCA, you can't waive your conditions and make them less favorable than what's in the act.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I don't know that people know that.
That is absolutely fantastic. Because with so much power in the hands of an employer, particularly given unemployment levels, the state of the economy, Sharisha, the danger of being bullied into negotiating down your entitlements is very real in this country.
Yeah. Section 5 of the BCA is quite clear that no agreement can trump the provisions of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. So you can't agree away your rights.
Annie, good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
We're very well, thank you, Annie.
Yes, I just have a comment. I will return from my maternity leave in January, but I had to extend it because I had no one to take care of my little one. And apparently, from my HR, I was penalized. It was unpaid. I had to pay the department back. And I was penalized by the DPSA. I had to give in 4 days of my annual leave.
And when you took maternity leave initially, how long did you take off?
I took my 4 months.
Yeah.
And thereafter, I had to extend it. So I asked them if I can extend it, and I was said, okay, I'll pay the department that money, but not knowing that I'll get penalized and be taken away another 4 days annual leave.
Oh, I see. Was the company entitled to do that?
Yeah, once you exhaust your 4 months, you then run into your annual leave, and if you don't have any annual leave, it then becomes unpaid leave. That's normal practice, unless there's a more favorable maternity leave policy.
Sorry, Annie. Okay, we've lost any there. Bad news, but the lawyer is giving you accurate advice, not what you want to hear. Sifiso, let's see whether we finally have you on a proper line here. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Morning. Yeah, I just also had a comment. I suppose I was lucky enough to work for one of the largest Silicon Valley companies, and we got, as fathers, 4 months fully paid paternity leave.
Oh, and that's nice. Did you go off and make a baby then?
After the first, we decided not so much. But yeah, just the incredible difference that makes it. And you can also, what's great about it is that you can take it, you don't have to take 4 months in a row. You can take 1 month,
good,
come back for 2 months, take another month, and kind of experience all the different stages of your child's first year of their life, which has just made an incredible difference. And you always knew that when you took it, there was a written rule that you do nobody contact you when you're on paternity leave. People will sort out what needs to be sorted out. When you're gone, you're gone. I think if more companies actually did that, and we're one of the highest performing teams in the world, so the fact that a company that performs at that level can still do it, there's really not much in the way of excuses when companies go, yeah, but it affects our...
Well, you know, I think there's a golden thread running out throughout that story. They're probably one of the highest performing because they have you locked down in terms of the loyalty, isn't it, Teresa?
Absolutely.
I mean, that is where your business logic from earlier kicks in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best retention school of thought ever to value your employees in that way. You don't need a restraint of trade if you have these kind of policies in place.
Are there any special maternity funds one can tap into, or is it UIF the only way you get it? How does that work?
Leave. So whether it's maternity, parental, adoption, commissioning parental, which is effectively surrogacy leave, all these leaves, unless the employer provides payment during the period, it will fall to the UIF, the Unemployment Insurance Fund, to compensate you for your loss of earnings during that period of time.
Okay. I'm going to keep you just for two or three more minutes, one or two questions just to end off with, but it's 11:30.
Eusebius Makaiser. Eusebius Makaiser. On 702 at Cape Talk.
29 minutes before noon, we're just wrapping our conversation in this week's edition of World of Work, and we're talking about parenting and the law with Sharisha Rajos from Feskin. Let's take a final call. Patricia, thank you for calling in today.
Good day. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm fine. Is the company allowed to not give you a performance bonus because you have taken more than four months maternity leave?
Such a stunning question. I want to expand it, and we'll just include the last question I had for you. There's a whole cluster of issues there, ways in which companies can punish you for becoming mom or dad or parent. They can, for example, say, well, we're not punishing you for having a baby, Sharisha, but let's be honest here. Eusebius was more productive than you over the last 12 months. How does one deal with that kind of complexity? And as Patricia says, it may manifest differently. Yeah. Well, the performance bonus is based on how many clients you handled. Mm. Eusebius handled 9, you handled 5. Mm. Like, okay, I handled 5, but you know that I was off home popping a baby and looking after, and society values that.
Mm. So on the bonus, you would look then at the period of your performance would be prorated. So too would the criteria. So it would only look at the smaller period that you were at work, and based on that, they would then have to decide what to rate you and pay you. Any discrimination, well, let's not use that word, any differentiation of an employee to other employees because she was pregnant is a listed ground under the Employment Equity Act. And then you can bring a claim of discrimination under the Employment Equity Act because under Section 6(1), you cannot be unfairly discriminated directly or indirectly because of the ground of pregnancy.
Okay. So practically what that means, tell me if I'm right, is if an employer wants to do right by their employees, when it comes to the bonus time, and Eusebius has worked 12 months, but Sharisha's worked for 8 months, rather ask the question, if the 8 months were 12 months,
would I get a bonus?
Would I get a bonus and what would it be? And treat it as if it's 12 months.
Yeah.
But for the maternity leave, what bonus would I have given her and give her that?
I'll take it one step further. If I had a baby and I took my, let's say I have a 6 months maternity leave policy, I take 6 months, I then come back and I then take my annual leave in December. You then look to annual increases in January and you say, well, you know what, Trissa wasn't here for most of the year last year. How do I give her an annual increase? Mm. And the question I have is, but for having had the baby, would you have given me an increase based on the time that I was here? And you have to look to that time.
Yeah.
You don't have the ability to say, well, you were not here. I wasn't here because I had a baby. It goes that far.
Yeah. The woolly issue are other aspects of the world of work, right? Where someone might say, you're going to have to wait a year longer before talent decides whether or not you're ready to become partner, because unfortunately, we haven't had enough of a sighting of your performance this year because you took 6 months off.
Same thing applies, same narrative. I think that maybe what people could do is the point that we made when we were discussing offline about key performance indicators. If there's any concerns, you have the right as an employer to manage someone's performance. It doesn't fall away.
Yes.
So why discriminate because the person's had a baby?
Yeah.
And we talk about it broadly because it's not just pregnancy. It's adoption. It's surrogacy. These things are now recognized and the law has now changed. It's a matter of waiting for President Ramaphosa to sign off on this. So I think we need to become less archaic in how we approach these things as a South African economy.
Sharisha, you've been stunning. Can speak to you for 2 hours, but we asked you for half an hour. We've already done 25 minutes more than we had expected. So many issues here that are critically important. Thank you so much for keeping it simple and practical and progressive.
Thank you so much for having me.